In the following live session recording, Rebecca Cottingham, organist, accompanist, Johnson Ferry Baptist Church in Marietta, Georgia, will talk about the organ in blended and contemporary worship. With worship style changes, we may often be at a loss on how to best utilize the organ in a particular worship venue. The beauty of the organ, considered the king of all instruments, is that we have so many sounds at our disposal. The listener will learn how to utilize this instrument for varying worship styles and keep the organ a vital part of worship. Let's join Rebecca now.
Today, Sean, Matt, Lee, I've met, and
I'm Jim.
Jim, great to meet you. Where are you, sir?
I serve at Concord Baptist Church in Cumming.
Oh, in Cumming. Okay, great. We kind of talked a little bit yesterday about where we are, what we do on a regular basis. This kind of helps me know how. Oh, Christy's here today too. Kind of know where you guys are and what you do. For you that weren't here yesterday, our church is two different styles. We've got a modern worship goes on in the activity center. We've got traditional in the sanctuary. That's where the organ, piano, choir, orchestra is every Sunday. So the organ is definitely used every Sunday. We'll miss it while we don't have it. But we are more of what I would consider a blended. We need to use it truly. So we do choruses, we do hymns straight out of the hymnal. We do songs for praise and worship arrangements that will give us a modulation at the end or somewhere in the middle. That's a really good source for us to use. So one of the things that I did was, let's look at this for just a second. I just copied these scripts. This is what I get in my folder every week. And this script helps the orchestra, the accompanists all stay together and be on the same page. So we practiced it this way and we know what we're supposed to do. This is something that that I can slide in my notebook. Right here, my music hits about here. So that I can, this is kind of my guide, this is my bulletin. But it's not only my bulletin, it's also telling me, hey, you know what, maybe the organ doesn't need to play on the first or such and such a thing. Maybe it's just going to be here. So there are varying ways that we use the instrument in worship. So the organ prelude is pretty much always organ prelude. Of course, we don't have one right now, so we've moved everything to the piano.
I'm curious, what did you do with your organ?
Well, it was actually a digitally recorded organ, Norman Allen was.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't really know what to do with it because it was going to take about $50,000 to replace all the boards to shore it up. And we had already put maybe $40,000 in trying to resurrect the computer boards that were gone out. And so we brokered with Recycled Church. That young man that started that company worked audio at First Baptist Woodstock for years and years. He was doing that kind of job where he was taking equipment that wasn't being used anymore and he was getting us to sell it. So he's on eBay, Craigslist, all that, and he brokers. So we gave it to him, had a meeting with him, told him what was wrong with it, told him what he had done, and so he has possession of it. So we moved it out with 172 speakers and 10 electronic pages. And he loaded it up in two big trucks and took it. So he saw it. And hopefully somebody's in mind to go to church, or if they have a log at home, they could take part of the speakers, a small church could use it, maybe put 40,000 into it and at least get it leveled. But the boards just continue to go out. So for us, it was just kind of a neat thing. Especially at the end where I pressed Piston 7, and every time I pressed it, it was a different registration. And it was like, I loved you for all these years, but now I don't really like you. You know, and then it got worse at Sunday. So if you look at this format here, this is the Majestic Services. We do have a gospel jazz band, and we do have a full orchestra. So usually after the Oregon Prayer League is when we have one of those groups play. And then the loop is just our welcome, here's the announcements, this is what we do, it's just a video that everybody watches. Okay, so then in this particular case, we have the anthem right after that loop, Glory. So that's the Johnson Choir and Band. And then you can see we did a hymn, and you can see organ introduction, because, you know, that's my instruction. Make sure 100 feet flat. We're going to play 3.5 times. The band is only going to play on the first and the third time, and then we're going to repeat the playing a cappella. This has been a really good source. This has been a really, really great, very clear picture of what we're all supposed to do. The next chorus, we're segging into measure 5, so there's no introduction. We're doing it as written, and the horns are going to cast until 23. So what we want to point out on here is that the teamwork of the orchestra director, my husband Mark, who's ministered music, and what's going on the keyboards is to create variety. And that was one of the things that we wanted to talk about today. So yeah, we're going to talk about variety on the instrument itself, but we're also creating variety in the service. It's not new to anybody. It's nothing new. It's just that this is written out. We have a place where the band actually exits, and we have the offertory. And we've got How Deep the Father's Love for Us. So that was a real change. So we do piano introduction, then we do piano and violin, and Archie Sarah's our daughter, and then choir only. Second verse with specific instructions. Third verse is where the organ comes in. Again, variety, because we didn't use the organ the whole time. So nobody could say, oh, you were too loud, or you were just trying to make it different. We don't want it just to be so predictable. And then if you go down to the Amazing Grace I've Changed Upon, that's a piano introduction as written, and it's rhythm only. So we just have piano and drums and guitars. Okay? So that kind of gives you an idea of what script that that I get every Sunday. Well, I get it on Wednesday so that I can practice. But the other thing that I wanted to do with you guys today, you know, we talk about how can we use the organ and how can we be a team player? How can people be okay with the organ? And I'm so proud all of you to just say, hey, we want to do that. Sorry, I really meant to move those back there. So this is a piece that we did this last Sunday. It's an anthem. It was written by the Gaddies. Great piece. And we've done this with choir and orchestra, but we've also done it this Sunday, and you just got a smattering of it. You don't have the whole thing, so the page numbers will not make sense. That was on purpose. So one of my pet peeves is, I'll say it 1,000 times for guys that were here yesterday, this is an important thing. I want the organ to go on. I want this to always remain. This is my love. This is majestic. This has the power to do everything. But now we have other players in the game, and we need to be team players. We want to stay in the game, but we also want other people to be able to use their talents. If I just played all the oboe parts, like all the string parts, and, you know, they don't want to see the part, you know, and that's where their talent lies. So I'm very, very strong on being a team. So when it came to this anthem on Sunday, I'm going to pretend like the organ is there. So if I want an organ on Sunday, what should I do?
Not play.
Exactly. Okay? So we're going to be a team player, and we're going to let the percussion instruments handle it. It's a driving drum beat. Now, if I were trying to play it, if you can imagine, if I was doing it,
what it would sound like, chickens flying, not flying together with clarinets and clarinets.
That's the whole thing.
What I would do, I'm going to play that.
Yes.
That's what I would do.
Right. And that's exactly what I would do with that piece. actually, I wouldn't have had, but you can definitely pad.
Does anybody understand what I mean when you say pad?
We're just quarters. It's just like what a keyboard would do. We are a keyboard, so don't be offended at padding. Sometimes, again, for playing this teeny thing, right? So I would absolutely stay away from that, me, personally. And so where would I come in from the page? What would you do? Yes. Yeah, you can come in at measure 9. And then what would you do at measure 9? You'd do exactly what Jim just said. All right? So let's just give it, let's stay out of the way of rhythm, okay? And we could just pad. Stayed out of the way of everybody. If you'll notice, when I was doing the pedal, I wasn't trying to do this. I think that's kind of where we get a bad rap, especially if we've got a bass player. We don't need to try to do that together, okay? So we are letting the bass player do what he does. And he's even going to fudge around. Our bass player fudges around a lot because he's really good and we can play by ear, and so he fudges. That's wonderful. But all we need to be is the right. We don't need to be all those notes.
I breathe in. I've got a problem breathing in. You end up in.
Yes.
You'll have a pain in the head. You still play it hard.
Yes.
Just do that for
yeah. Yeah, same thing. Like the yeah. So even if your music says 4 quarter notes, I don't ever do that. Say the music calls for. Well, that can be fine on camera.
Yeah.
But it's not really okay here. Okay, we'll do articulation and stuff for hymns, but it's not really okay for the organ. So, what do? We just do this. And like, you've got a lot of rhythm going on in the choir, and you've got bass rhythm on the bottom, so we're just going to give it some chords, right? Okay, so then when we get over to page 4 and we get to measure 16, same thing. Now, I mean, if I'm playing the piano, of course I'm doing it, right? But I'm not going to do it for when I'm playing the piano, all right? And the piano is the one that had that little lick. All right, so I'm going to let that go. On the back page, on page 5, there's no problem in that first measure moving the pedal. But when I get to the second measure, I'm not going to do the 8th note. And I'm certainly, in measure 24, I'm certainly not going to do this. Okay, no sense. And there's no sense for anybody to think or to see that we're not together. And you've got, you know, a different kind of reverb in different rooms, and so your sound's going to come to you a little bit different than it's going to come to the bass player. Bass player is clicking. He's got clip track in his ear, or not clip track, he's got the drummer in his ear. Do any of you have... If you're playing with instruments, do you have a monitor or anything where you can hear the monitor for piano?
Just piano is supposed to come through that so that you see where the grand piano is.
Yes.
So that her sound will come here.
Okay.
And times when I can't see the director, either on that or in reality.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm relying on staying with the piano player.
And she looks like maybe she's got an Avion system over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She has the things in her ear.
So she's hearing the bass, she's hearing the drum, she can turn that up, she can turn it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real big help. Do you play with instruments, Christy?
A few, not many.
Not many,
not
okay.
But we do, because I moved from an electronic organ, which is not, it has a few sounds, most of them we don't like, so we just have a few sounds. I do need to keep it.
Got it. Okay. Okay, so you've got the drummer?
Yes.
Yes, bass player?
No.
No.
No. Oh, we have the drummer and the guitar off and on when it's not working.
Okay. Okay. So it's not complicated yet?
No.
Okay. That's nice. That's nice. You play the instruments?
No, it's mostly piano organ, but now.
Yeah.
We, sometimes we get on the congregation stuff with other flute.
Okay. 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 So she kind of goes with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're saying with piano, and the piano's saying with the bank.
Well, we use foot tracks.
Oh, you use foot tracks.
Oh,
really? Okay.
And if you don't have an oboe player, all you have to do is this oboe gets on.
Yeah, you do. There's something about that.
It depends on the song, but it also depends on the dynamic level of the choir. So when the choir starts a piece like this, you know, of course, it's pretty bombastic on the front end, right? It's forte. When the choir comes in, I want to make sure that they can be heard. So because I've got a bass player, I've got a small 16 on there, I might thicken that up just a little bit. But again, what I don't want to do is conflict with the bass player. Then I can do a lot of different things on hymns, and I don't try to make all those adjustments on a regular hymn. But on something like this, the last thing I want is for the pedal bass to be so strong that it's kind of annoying because I'm holding it. So we always, you know, you always want to stay away from that. So, so I just kind of go with the volume of the choir. Now, our first service is actually turning out to be the bigger choir right now. So I kind of had to adjust because it used to be the little service was the bigger choir. So you just adjust registration. But I would go lighter, especially if you have a bass player, for sure.
Maybe a little bit under the head.
What do you think about that? Does that work for you?
Sometimes, but I just noticed you weren't doing that.
Now that's more you
to elaborate
on. Yeah, so the reason that I don't do that is because it's kind of like doubling a lot of rhythm. And again, I think that we get muddy and we get messy in our sound when we're doubling things that can be complicated. And so that's why I don't do that. And the other thing is that a lot of times, even if we're doing an acapella portion and the choir's really low, and so my husband looks at me and says, I'll do it, but I have to be really, really careful to breathe with them. And if I don't, then it's really clear that we're not together. And so I would prefer to leave them on their own. So they, you know, the choir, right? Mm-hmm. Got to break it really off. One thing that we do with our choir is that we do demo CDs. And so when we come back in the fall and we start kicking off, we've got a demo CD for soprano alto tenor bass. And so they've got their own CD and they can go home and listen to it. So by the time we do this piece, they don't need the backup. So I would prefer to have. Does that kind of help you a little bit?
Yeah. I need a lot of choir anthems for congregations.
Yeah.
So if you were doing that,
yes.
You understood vocal part?
I would if they didn't know it. If I didn't have a team singing at them, like we did this on Sunday, and of course they don't have the organ right now, so it kind of made it a little bit different. I had to play piano part.
but if they don't know the hymn or the anthem and we're just learning it, then maybe I'll do that. And I'll put it up an octave, I'll shine it a little bit with a, you know, maybe a clarinet, something mild, but something just a little bit above everybody else in the thinking here. So for teaching purposes, yes. But we have usually a praise team in front on mics. And so we've got the choir singing it, and we've got this praise team on mic. So typically, I don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's look at another one. So another example, just some pages out there, not the whole thing, just some pages that I thought were kind of pertinent. Okay, so now on this one, you'll notice that, like on the first page, we've got just some happenings. And in this piece, mostly the melody is written into the accompaniment. So, so if I were doing this, let me start at measure. Let's start at measure 13. Okay, so normally I would do. But then. Here I would more play parts. I would mix them too. Mix the two. You've got, if you turn back to the first page, because we've got the accompaniment actually has the melody, so you're kind of forced to do that as long as you can stay with your piano. Normally I would just, if I weren't doing it for you guys right now, I would just do this. Let me do my comfort, and it's too much. Just this congregation knows the song, right? It's very punctuated, and they got it, and you got the piano doing all the eighth notes. So it's not necessary for us to do all the eighth notes, okay? Now, on this part, I don't have a problem doing it. But if you are having trouble staying up with the melody and playing what's written, then again, I go back to, I don't have to do all of that. It's not necessary. I think I can get by with that better than on by faith, but I can just do this. That's all they need for me. So you don't have to do it all. And again, when we do it all, we get messy because we have too many things going on at one time. Okay, so don't be shy to stay away from it because you'll be better off. Okay? All right. I think I killed that point. I've got another script here. Is from this last Sunday. So we don't have the organ in here, but again, it's just another example of this is how we do some different kind of.
Do you meet with your people like on Wednesday night to talk through the Sunday service?
Yeah, so the scripts are ready on Wednesday. That's when the final decisions are made, so that our orchestra guy can take, he can take what's decided and he takes it into the orchestra rehearsal. So he takes this into the orchestra rehearsal and they have the music. His assistant puts all their music in order in their calendar, and so they rehearse this. So they're being able to rehearse the fact that, hey, I'm going to play everybody's going to play On By Faith. The orchestra's going to, they're in on the DS on Shout to the Lord, so they don't come in right at first, so we just leave that big Shout to the Lord for the end. On For the Beauty of the Earth, the strings and the woodwinds are play second and third time, in brass and percussion only the third time. Again, usually you're working your hymn up from a softer to a little louder to a little louder, so that's where the group's going to come in. God of Grace and God of Glory, they're just going to do one and three. That's pretty, that's pretty basic for us. You know, that's something pretty normal. So they get this script on Wednesday night. The accompanists don't rehearse this until Sunday morning. So our first service is at 8:30, so we meet at 8 with the orchestra, and we run everything, just like we're having a service. I don't know if y'all do that on Sunday mornings or not. It's worth it. It's worth it. I know it makes me feel a lot better, or if something you think to go, oh gosh, we need to do something, it's better than that we've already practiced. Yes, than first service being a practice. Exactly. The other thing that we do is we put the words up on the screen. I don't know if y'all do that at your church.
We don't have people.
No, I didn't know this. I didn't know this. Okay, we do have hymns. Obviously, we sing hymns. And we also have them printed in the bulletin with the number. So there are a lot of people that still like the bulletin book, and I love that. And but if you want to do the screen, you do the screen. So that's something else that we rehearse. We go through all the lyrics to make sure that there's not a problem or a hiccup in the lyrics, because that just is going to make it look stupid. And then people are going to be like, I can't wait to pick up the hymn. You know, you just try to do things to avoid issues in your worship, because worship should be your number one, right? It's your biggest, it's when you come before the Lord and you worship Him, and we're never going to be able to do Him justice, but you bring it all before you, and it's got to be, it's got to be your top priority, you know, as a musician, for sure, in leading people in God's path. So there are people that we use the hymnals. We did do a thing over the summer where one Sunday we just used the piano, and we were doing four hands on the piano, and so we're doing some fun things like that. One Sunday we had family choir, where parents could bring their children, even parents that aren't in choir on a regular basis, they just came to, they came Sunday morning, we worked on a piece, and we sang it. And they had their little babies, they had their holding babies, they were singing this sweetest, sweetest thing. And then another Sunday an old-fashioned singing type thing, where we had a segment in the service where people could call out a hymn. Well, they were using the hymn books that day. Mark said, yeah, you know those red books that are right there in front of you? Yeah. And people laughed. And the hymns that they were pulling out, you just like, had no idea you missed that hymn. You know, so it was really a special time for us, and that was strictly a hymn service. So again, so it's a variety, you know, trying to initiate excitement, maybe touch a heart that wasn't touched any other way, you know, maybe in the last 2 weeks, because they got to see their favorite film, they were touched, you know, that's what we're going to do is to leave them worship. So any comments about any of this stuff? So, when we're talking about preludes, most of you are still playing preludes. You have a prelude?
Not by yourself.
Not by yourself? piano organs?
And orchestra sometimes.
Oh, really? Okay, so it isn't like this when you do one and somebody else does. Okay, so you guys rehearse that?
Yeah. We rehearse everything.
Okay, so you've got plenty of time.
Yeah,
so you guys are pretty good at that, I guess, after time, putting that together.
Yes.
Yes, cool. Very cool. A lot of times, because I get this on Wednesday, I also kind of have an idea of the theme by the music pick. And so a lot of times, the Lord will lead me to a piece that kind of fits. I'm like, that's the piece that we need to do. That's what I need to do this Sunday. As I talked a lot about yesterday, about playing the words, about knowing the text, about not just doing notes for notes' sake, but doing notes to bring people into worship. Your registration affects that. Your attitude affects that. If you just had an argument with somebody in the hall because they said the organ was too loud, you know, it's really hard to come in and do what you need to do for God. Right? So, who was it yesterday? Oh, I think it was Judy. She's not here today. The choir members keep telling us too loud. I'm like, well, you know, just go with the boss. But that's kind of a hard thing if somebody's talking to you about stuff like that as you're fixing the walk in and do what you need to do. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there for you. So I'm going to look at some hymns with you guys. There was one other thing I was going to talk to you about with these scripts. I'm very fortunate because this might be something that you guys take down the road or maybe ask you guys to do. I get a notebook on Wednesday. And that every notebook has this in it, but it also has all the music copied in order. You do that? Yeah, so you can kind of use kind of saw some of my Xerox things that things will mark out. So it's good for you. I'm very fortunate. Our instrumental guy does that, and he was on sabbatical this summer. And so I'm not sure who was doing it. I think Mark had something to do with that. So I was just like, oh, dude, this doesn't look like it's okay with our teacher. Because he wasn't always as thorough and clear. And so what I got was a planning center sheet. So we had the time of everybody saying it was just very different. So we're very spoiled because Brian's pretty much speaking this to us. So that's kind of nice. So we talked a little bit yesterday about some hymns and what do we do with hymns for variety. And of course, I'm talking to Phil, that's been an organist for what, 38 years, 50 years, right? There's nothing new here under the sun. But there are some things that we can do that kind of, you know, set us aside. And hymns is really, I think, besides a prelude or a postlude or a special, the hymns are really our thing. So again, I reiterate, we need to know our text when we go into our hymns. So if we look at Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. I don't start that out huge. Early in the morning. How are you early in the morning?
Quiet.
Quiet. You're slow.
I left home at 5:15 this morning and I said to get here. So.
You did? Where is
the church at 5:15?
It took you that long. Where'd you come from?
Cairo.
That's right.
That's right above Tallahassee. So none of us would.
You were
the Miriam.
So nobody was doing anything.
We're not so far from Mowbray, but that's the closest one I found.
Did you come this morning?
Yes.
You came yesterday.
Bless you.
Yeah, bless you. Glad you're not driving.
No, we've got a van.
Good. So the driver's sleeping now and you can sleep on the road.
We'll sleep during the sermon Sunday tomorrow.
Oh my gosh. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God, every person's blessed Trinity. So a lot of times, we'll start that soft and build it. And that's kind of a traditional thing that they should usually do that some. And so every now and then, we may do, like, on the third verse, like the second verse, I'll do it here in a minute. Third verse may be a little bit more subdued, because again, I'm looking for words. I'm looking at holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy. That just seems really reflective to me. Though the darkness hide thee, there is none beside thee, perfect power and love and purity. And you can build a hymn for two verses and then back off the third verse. You know, you don't want to be so predictable that people get complacent in what we're doing in worship. If I know what's going to happen, I think it bores me and I start wandering a little bit. So because that's me, which may be really weird, I don't know, but it is me, I try to vary things. So let's say that we were to start this hymn here. Do you feel like you were able to worship a little bit different by doing it that way? Possibly. Mm-hmm. Possibly. And these are suggestions you guys have come to your people.
When we first came here, one of the hymns that started doing was something I'd never heard before in the Methodist Church, was I Stand Amazed in the Presence, and it was loud and fast. And I thought, that just doesn't... And somebody later, who was it, put in a big word, that hymn, slowed it way down and scared it up. In later years.
Yeah.
That just fits better than shouting, Stand Amazed in the Presence of
the Master. Yeah, and something like that, I mean, a piece like that, I'm trying not to have my back a piece like that, you might start out doing it more reflective and then building it as you go, too. So you want to play the word. I say that, I hope that makes some sense to you. I was talking yesterday about the Holy Spirit really taking that desire, and something happens between playing and what happens in the hearts of the people. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's amazing ways, and that's his part, but I can't ever understand that. He's so gracious. But I can do my part, and my part is becoming a little bit more attention to the Lord. So it's a suggestion. It's something that you can take home and go, with this conference, this lady said, we could do this or we could do that. If you tell Scott that, he may say, I know that lady now. So that's fine, because Scott, I've been here for every event. You don't tell him what to do?
I do.
I do. I'll tell him what to
do. Does it do any good?
Probably not. So anyway, that's just an idea. So on the second verse, maybe I would do, I would just add to it. So I would add maybe 4 foot and 2 foot. So we started out with 8 and 4, but now I'm going to add another 4 and a 2. Okay, change it.
Thank you.
first, let's, why don't we add on, let me get something else here going. It's real great. So I'm going to just thicken it up here with some 84s, and I'm going to add a mixture over there. What y'all play out of on Sunday? Do you play out of the hymnal?
No, if we do hymns, every now and then we'll have a hymn
right
out of the book, but mostly we do hymns, arrangements of hymns.
Yes.
That it's a little bit more contemporary.
Yes, yes, which works great as well, as long as we abide by those rules on not doubling too much. In a hymn, I do everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever back off of him if I'm in here just to him.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay. So now here's another idea. You can also always do I just took the melody and I soloed it out. You could do that on any stanza as well. Okay, now, in a particular hymn like this, when we have the orchestra and the piano all doing this, that's why. Okay, they're all doing that. Then on a piece like this with a descant written, then you can take that descant. Now, I can't play all parts at one time, so just pretend like I am. It's hard to come up with if you can do that around your orchestra or around the field, or you know, there are different things that you can do that really excite what's going on. And by the end of a room like that, you're just like, the power of God is so tremendous, right? So if I open that up a little bit more, let's open it up. A little bit more excited.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah?
Yes.
You like that? Good. Good. So there are different things that we can do, you know, with different hymns. What version do you have there?
This is the current Baptist.
The current Baptist. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is the hymn for worship and celebration. You don't have that one? Yeah. So that's got a great part to it. Now, if we're doing something, let me see what that other one is.
Have you guys soloed out a melody like that before? I know Jim says that he has. And again, if you have that, the solid bass of the orchestra or other instruments, it helps you to be able to have that freedom to skip up and take the melody out of your consolidated chord. Okay, so if we did something like All Creatures of Our God and King, I do separate that melody out sometimes, but it's a little bit more difficult because you've got so many moving parts. So if I were doing All Creatures of Our God and King, I would just do a very traditional, basic, I would do a very basic build.
Thank you. We've run a funeral home, and evidently everybody in town decided to die once I left. I'm going back to Bama to Cairo.
Well, how are you going to go? This and not go?
I came in my car for this reason. Behind
them. You did?
Because
I
was.
So you do have to drive. Bless you.
I've been doing this too many years. I knew not to get off.
Let's pray for you real quick.
Oh, thank you.
Lord, I ask that you be with Christy as she drives back. And Father, I ask that you give her energy and strength to make it back home where she's needed. And Father, I ask that you be with the families of people that have lost people today and that you will comfort them, bring people into their lives to show them that this is. You've got a promise of heaven and community. I just ask that you will comfort them today, Father. Again, thank you for your love and your blessings.
Thank you.
You're doing well.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
Great to meet you.
Here, Christy, take this.
Okay.
That was from yesterday.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. I hate that. Okay. So, on All Creatures of Our God and King. So, how would you start with that? I mean, do you think that we should start that soft? All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing alleluia, alleluia. Thou burning sun and golden beam. Exactly. Good. So I kind of take a look now, look at the second verse. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye heavens be still. I may go a little bit lower there. I might go lower on the third. Thou flowing water, pure and clear, make music for the Lord to hear. Okay? So I've started strong because it's all creatures of our God and King. And then I back down a little bit, right? Play the words, play the text. The people are singing the text. We want our music to match what they're singing so that they can watch it. Okay? And then at the end, of course, let all their... Yes. Right. Okay. So I'm going to start it somewhere here, maybe not with so many 2 foots, which is the higher pitch. I may do more 8 and 4s. For the next hymn, and make a difference when you pedal out.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It kind of makes you go, oh, right. Give your people a chance to listen, right. Tune their hearts in a little bit more, that they're not just being totally drowned out by us, right? That's not our job. That isn't what we want to do. And then maybe I'll come back in on the third verse, and I will take off. I'm just going to go a little bit lower, but now I'm going to put the pedal back in. And then in on the last one. I put my specs on a little fuzzy. Okay. So on the last one, I'm going to... Of course, you would have all this preset, right? You would not be poorly. I'm trying not to mess Lucy up for tomorrow. Right, Lucy? You're welcome. That too, like at the end. I like to go up there because it ends so low. So on a big hymn where it really ends in a lower octave, jump the octave, make it, you can be powerful there. And it is power for God. So that's kind of how I would handle that hymn. Do you guys have a hymn that you do regularly, or you have a favorite? Anybody? To God be the glory. Great one. We've changed hymn books so many times, I don't ever remember now what number. It used to be 33. Do you remember when it was 33? Mm-hmm. Who remembers when it was 33?
Look how great thou art was 35.
Probably. Was how great thou art 35?
34.
34. You don't look old enough to remember that.
I grew up in it.
You did. You don't look old enough to remember that.
The radio book.
Well, now it's 66.
Okay.
To God be glory. Okay, so to God be the glory. Now, this is a happy, exciting piece, so you want your registration to reflect that.
What I do is I start off playing a solo stop and get the key. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you do? You want to demonstrate? You don't? You sure?
Yeah.
Do you play by ear?
No.
Okay. Okay, but you made that up.
Well, I play like... The first score.
Okay. Would you do it like an E? I'm in A flat, actually, so.
Actually, I think I did.
Or an A.
That's good. I think I start. Uh-huh.
No, that's fine.
And then I go.
That's fine. Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, that's exciting. So one of the things that I love about To God Be the Glory is that we have this optional ending. And so a lot of times I'll take the optional ending and use that as my introduction because it makes me sound like, hey, she knows what she's doing. But I'm just reading. So someone else wrote it and I'm just playing it. So...
Yeah.
Make me want to sing. I'm really glad that whoever wrote that, right? So we'll go. Now that's the introduction. Now I'm probably going to take off, I'm going to change my registration, take off brilliance of it so that I've got somewhere else to go. Thank you. this, but I'm just going to reiterate it. In this hymn, in a lot of our hymns, we have a note every single beat. Do we repeat that note every single beat? No. No, I would not. So you've got, you've got the percussiveness of the other instruments. You've got the piano. So when you get to things he hath done, if I repeated all those notes, it may be a little too short. It may be choppy. It may be I'm not standing with the bass player now. And so, you know what? Bass players, percussive, he can do that. Let him do that, right? So I'm giving it the chord. Same thing. And this piece is full of that. B flats three times, A flats three times, E flats three times. It's not necessary. Okay. Now you can be percussive here on the praise the Lord. But you don't have to repeat the A every time. I just changed it up, okay? You got that opportunity, so I played praise. I'm off the pedal. Okay, your bass is already doing it. Now, you've got this descant here as well. I don't know if Jimmy knew that there was a descant in here. So, yeah, so... So I love to do that descant, but again, I can't play everything and I don't have anybody else playing. The earth. It comes in kind of as an echo. And then when we get to come. Soprano sing that, you can play it, but again, if you've got the piano playing the whole piece, then you're good, all right? Sometimes we'll go back and we'll repeat the refrain. I'm thinking that you guys do that probably. Yes? You guys ever do that?
Yes.
Repeat the refrain? So that kind of gives you an idea. Okay.
Is that an A-flat?
This is an A-flat.
Mm-hmm. Could you modulate B-flat or repeat
it? For repeat of the refrain, you could... No, it would just put you in an E. So, if you're playing... You could even go up half a step. Yeah, that's just a half a step.
I knew that just came up as a, I don't know if it was a key change at the end or just an alternative
It's a really cool.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. We end up doing that, but we do it. It's not like written in our score. We just kind of make that little mark. Yeah. Yeah. So anything that you can do to, you know, to make that hymn scene really, really impressive. So on a song like, give me a soft song. Let's do this. Let's do Greatest Expectations. Okay. So we're talking a much more reflective piece, right? Okay. So let's look at some of the things that you can do there. So we want to make sure that we're communicating. Okay, so that's where the 2 foots were. Okay, so I'm just going to start with 8 and 4 foot, which is more of a mild type registration, right? You don't like it in D? Well, I haven't got the pitch, so it doesn't bother me at all what it's in. Well, if I got music, I'm good. Mm-hmm. So say you're doing Grace, I Thankfulness, and in our place, you know, we'll do maybe the full orchestra on the first stanza, and then as you saw in the script, then we might say just the woodwinds and strings are playing the second stanza. So that's kind of creating that variety. I need to go with that. So I would never try to overpower the people that are doing the flutes and strings, because you get flute, right, every now and then, so you don't want to overpower, because again, that's their instrument, and that's how they can pull it by God. So I know that this can cover up everything, right, but that's not our purpose at all in the story, right? All of us agree on that. We're enhancing worship, we're moving in worship, but we want to be too. So if the flutes and woodwinds are playing, then I'm not even going to solo out. I'm not even going to solo out. So I would take that solo out, and I would just... So again, you've got that kind of anticipation from the congregation that, oh, it's different. And that's cool. Right? Because now it's a little bit more reflective. So let's listen to the words. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in your... Okay? Or pardon for sin, a peace in your heart. See, I make you feel subdued because we're working on the words here. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, I may start growing here. Strength for today, he promises.
Thank you.
another optional ending. I could have used it for an introduction, or I can use it here at the end. If your choir person is in agreement with you, we could repeat this a couple times, which we usually do. What was I doing there? Of a big hymn like that, again, I don't think anybody in the room is going to go, oh man, that was too much organ. Oh, no, this is your, we're never going to match God's glory, we're never going to be able to express his power, but we are praising him and we're worshiping him, and that's where, because you've got all of this going on, you lift people to another level, okay? So if we take anything out of the yesterday and today, is we're team players. Worship is our number one priority, and we are to not play notes for notes' sake, but we're trying to lead people in worship. And again, your faces are the first they see, and the first they hear. So we have to be so right when we come before God. But this is a big responsibility. So. Remember the text, play the words, and let's be team players and stay in the game, going forward, while trends go this way. Trends are good, they're exciting, there's a lot of good stuff in trends, but we can just keep working together by small adjustments, and I think that's what the Lord would want us to do anyway, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. We want those flute players to play. We want those violinists to play. We want the oboe to play. The oboe's playing. I'm not going to play an oboe. Right? I'm just not going to play that measure. I'm certainly not going to play an oboe. Well, there you go. So, great. You're equipped. We're equipped to do a lot of stuff, but when we have other people that can do it, then we need to play. We need to play nicely. Right? Thank you.
Will you all join me? Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you so much.